good morning. Thank you for actually inviting me to come and to speak with you. Just want to introduce a little bit about myself. First of all, I'm actually a pastor of our church, Calvary Chinese Alliance Church, and I want just to send our greeting to you. My name is Pastor Alan Lam. Just a moment. I have served at my church for almost 8 years, and within those years, I have opportunity to actually to serve and work with Reverend Sid for around 2 years' time. With those years, I'm so glad that I have able an opportunity to learn a lot from him. And as this picture you have seen, this is my wife, and I have two young boys. One of them is 7 years old, and the other is 2.5 years old. And they are very active too. My purpose of this trip to come is to join the Alliance, the Joint Mission Conference. But this time I kind of do it differently. Instead of taking a flight, I just want to do something crazy. So I kind of drove 3,000 kilometers from Calgary to Toronto by myself. Many people said to me, "You are insane. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" But I'm saying, I'm so happy that I actually made the decision, because this has become a great blessing to me. There's so many great places when I visit during this time, and especially in Ontario. There's a big lake around the Thunder Bay where I got the chance to drove around it. It's just wonderful. This is one of the highlights of the trip. But another highlight for me is actually the time to spend alone with the Lord. For instance, I have an opportunity that I really want to listen to Romans from chapter 1 to the end, from one sitting. And I always plan to do this, but I got no opportunity. And this time it is perfect, because I can sit there with nothing to do and just to listen to the Word of God. It reminds me greatly about the pictures of grace through Christ alone. It again reminds us Christ is everything, and he is everything that all and all that we need. The book of Romans is kind of like an invitation to a party. It is saying, today, the good news is here to set for you, to set you free. You are invited. Come and celebrate this present of great joy. And this is the good news of the Lord. Come and join us. Come to celebrate with us. I don't know if you have seen this picture around Canada, yeah? Seen this picture? What is it? We are celebrating Canada for 150 years, right? Why do we celebrate Canada 150? It's actually to remind us that what it means for us to be Canadians. We are so proud of our history, therefore we celebrate with great joy that we are being part of to be a Canadian. And I'm not sure if you have ever seen this as well. Yep. This year is also celebrating the Reformation 500 years. From the day on May 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posed the 95 theses on the wall of Wittenberg Church to go against the Catholic Church. The 500-year celebration marked the meaning of being Christian today. We are so proud of celebrating our history, the history that who we are, the justification by faith. We no longer believe that works will carry us to heaven, but it is faith and faith alone. That is the key of our salvation. So this Reformation 500 again reminds us that this is the good news of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus that we are come to remember, to celebrate the rich part of our history. Seeing this gospel, the gospel message is so great. Therefore, we need to ask a question. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Paul reminds us again in the Word of God. It is said like that. sorry. What is he said? He said that I am obligated both to Greek and non-Greek, both to the wise and the foolish. This is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. When you read these words, you kind of feel what Paul is feeling about his passion. He said that this good news is so great. You do not want to miss it. I need to talk about it. I need to share about this to all the people around me because this is so great, so wonderful. For me, I still remember the day when my first son is born. It was 2 a.m. in the morning of April 16. I still remember I was beside my wife, holding her hands, and I still remember that the screaming and the pain behind during the labor. It was one of the horrible experiences that I have. So after I went through this, from that moment on, I actually want to propose that the Labor Day should be celebrated for the women who actually give birth to women, to babies, because they are great. But as soon as I remember the picture that my son was born and came out, I just want to hold him because I look at his eyes and he don't look at mine. He's so precious. He's so great. Immediately, I just want to do one thing. It's just took a lot of picture of him and then post it on the Facebook and send it to everywhere, whoever that I have in my friends, just to say that, you see, I have a son, my precious son. Great is a great blessing the Lord has given to me. Similarly, this is actually also the good news about it. It is so great. It is so excited. It is so spectacular that Jesus actually come to save everyone through dying on the cross for our sins. If you miss it, you'll regret it for life. If you are like me, part of a Chinese ethnic, you will understand better that we like free stuff, you know? We like free stuff that is good. So you never miss any of this. It is similar. It is so good to be true. But actually, this is actually true. Jesus saved us from our sin. The good news of Jesus Christ further mentioned in the Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Bible just said it like this. It is said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor." When you hear this word, do you have the same kind of feeling as me that isn't this exciting? It is said that whoever received the good news of Jesus will no longer need your worries. They will be set free. No matter who you are, no matter what your status is, no matter what your social classes is or your ethnic group is, you will suffer no further because you are released from all kinds of debts. Kind of like today, if the bank just suddenly sent you a notice saying, you are free. You no longer need to pay any mortgage. You no longer need to pay any monthly payment. Your balance that you own to our bank is zero. What is your feeling is going to be? You just feel, I'm released. I no longer carry the debt that is behind me, that's burdened me for so long time. Now, I can start dreaming. I can start thinking about my new life. And I can start thinking about what I want to do the rest of my life because I'm step free and I'm set to be free. This is kind of our dream. Or you said that you have something so worries, something that overwhelmed you, or something that has been carried on your heart that's so burdened that you never want to release. The Bible verse actually saying that you no longer need to carry the burden, because Jesus in your heart will carry it with you, and together that we go through this journey. It is saying that the power of the good news is for all the poor, all the needy, and the prisoner will be released regardless of their any social background and status. It is saying that this is the good news we believe. We are so proud of this from our history. We need to celebrate this for all our life. However, in the Bible verse here, Paul is saying one thing that it is sometimes really hard for us to understand. What did he say here? He is saying that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. When you look at this verse, you can see that he used the term not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why does Paul actually use that, the word not ashamed of the gospel? Isn't it we just talk about the gospel, the message is so great, it brings relief of so many people, that is so wonderful, it is so great. Why are there anything to be ashamed of? Feeling ashamed is something meaning that you don't want to talk about it. You want to hide it. If someone trying to mention this to you, you just want to, stop talking about it because I don't want to get mentioned because I feel shame about this. Or in Mandarin, there's a saying that if you are ashamed, you actually lose face. Yeah. When Paul's saying here is that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He indirectly actually is saying that in some part of the gospel, there are things that will trigger a shame in us. If I want to say to you, ask you this question, what is it? What is the message of the gospel that will trigger some of the shame in our life? Okay, maybe it's okay. I'll give you an answer. A few weeks ago, I got a chance when I sit down with some of the brothers and sisters in kind of a Bible study setting. I asked him the same question. When I asked him this question, because it's a like Bible study setting, so they are so excited, and they gave me all kind of answers. Some said that when we talk about Jesus' restoration, when we share his resurrection, people will just laugh at you. They said, you actually believe this? Is it? Are you crazy or insane? Some may say that I don't believe in religion, especially Christianity, because it just causes war among us. If you believe in this, are you believing in violence? Or in ancient time, long time ago, how can Jesus be a savior when he was punished and died on the cross? Isn't that, doesn't make sense, right? But when Paul actually talked about this, he doesn't mind non-Christian is feeling this way. The problem of Paul is that he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. He is talking about not what non-Christians think about it. It's more about what you think about the gospel. It is question about being, who you are. What do you actually believe the gospel message is? As a Christian, do you feel ashamed of the gospel? If I ask you this question, you definitely may answer, I don't think this way. But is your being, some part of your being, that part of the gospel actually may trigger you about the shame or some of the shame that you carry. Just give you an example. For example, you know, I just share that I love my kids. I love them very, very much. They do a lot of crazy stuff at home, but sometimes we allow them to do so. But when they are actually in public, it is a different kind of stories. I don't know if you have some incident that when you know the action, the kid's action, actually it's not totally wrong. But it is because that you feel ashamed about yourself, that you don't want other people to look at you and to criticize you about being a bad parent. So you tell them, stop doing this. At the end, it's not about them, the problem. It is about me feeling ashamed of their action. When I feel ashamed of the gospel, sometimes I do not want to share with other people. And more importantly, I do not want to walk in my life according to the gospel, because you just feel ashamed about this. When people look down on you and think that you are stupid, it may carry a long-term consequences, such as relationship, maybe relationship to my parent, maybe relationship with my friends, or relationship with my colleagues, or maybe down on the road, it really affects your career path. Because if I'm not smart, then how can I be success in my future? When you do not put down your faith on the message of the gospel, you will eventually dissect the gospel message into two parts. One part is a weekday gospel, where you just live out what your value is, what you think I should achieve in the life of here, and you set ground on it. And the other is the Sunday gospel, where you will carry it, what your Sunday is. If we don't believe, we can no longer be a Jesus Christ followers in 24/7 in all our life. But Paul, in what did he say? He said that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Paul is saying that he is not feeling ashamed of it, because he understands that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation for everyone who believes. The word power in Greek, in English translation, is called dynamite. It is when everyone thinks that money, position, control, equivalent to power, that the dynamite is to blow up all this kind of thinking, all this kind of mentality that we hold truly on inside our value. Paul, on the other way around, is saying that Jesus himself is the power. But when we look at the picture of Jesus, we can never relate him with the word power, right? Jesus has no position. Jesus has no money. He is a Jew who was dominated by Romans. He was cursed. He was called cursed and be crucified on the cross. Even his own people betray him and shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" From the angle of our human being, Jesus will never be a person with power. Instead, the picture of him is kind of like totally a loser. But what's special is that what everyone thinks Jesus is a loser, the power of God uses what human intelligence think we are right and turn it into a different story. It is saying this is what God called power. In the ancient time, when we call power, we will directly symbolize the Roman Empire be a representation of power. The Roman Empire has all the money, all the strong army, all the different trade and roads They are very successful. And this is what we call power. And today we kind of have the similar feeling. With money, with success, with position, this is what we call power. But the history actually tells us that today, Roman Empire actually doesn't exist anymore. It is the power of Jesus, his follower. It still exists today. Even many evil intentions just want to destroy it. This is what God is calling the power of Christ. What people feel ashamed of, it turned into God's salvation formula. We are saved because of it. Therefore, at last, what did the Bible verse say? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The passage here at the end mentions one very important thing. It is the righteous will live by faith. Sometimes, even though we don't understand what is the situation is, or we don't understand why when we believe in the gospel, it put us into this kind of difficult situation. We don't understand why when we trust in God, we are still in this kind of mess. But it calls us that we still need to believe it with faith. Because putting down your faith into the gospel, God is telling us that you will experience the grace of God. The Bible verse declare that the righteous will live by faith. It is when you put down your faith in Christ, God will bring grace, the grace into the life in every moment, in every aspect of our life. I want to share you a story that I've experienced something during the trip to Toronto. Actually, coming to Toronto this time, I had a very unique encounter. I still remember as soon as I crossed the border, that from Manitoba entering into Ontario, from the moment that I actually passed by a very, very small town, I just received a very horrible experience. When I go into the town, I just realized something that doesn't make sense on my GPS on the car. So I just saw that, oh, in front of me, there's a big traffic. So I just pick up my phone and just to double check if I'm actually on the right path, because I don't want to go into the wrong road. Just as soon as I pick up this phone and peek for the phone for 2 seconds, I suddenly saw that there's a police car just right beside me. It's kind of like a pickup truck. So he kind of perfect angle to look at me. I kind of look at him, and he kind of look at me. And at that moment that we have the eye contact, I know I'm screwed. I got pulled aside. I explained to him what happened. What happened? And he gave me a ticket that scared me to death. It was $495. He explained to me, even though I know you are from Alberta, you are new to here, that you just come to here, but the law is a law. It needs to protect the well-being of others. But at that moment, I hear nothing. I just keep on reminding, I'm screwed. So the police later indicate that you have two choices. One is you just pay the fine, and the other that you can visit a judge. So I think that the first option is not good, so I must try the second one. Because, you know, it's a small town, so actually the office is just 2 blocks away. So I enter the office, I sign up, and I go in and see the judge. And I explain it to the situation to him, similar to this. And then suddenly he asked me, what is your job? And I said, feeling ashamed that I'm a pastor. You know, I'm poor. My wife don't work. And I have two kids that eat a lot. I just come to Ontario just like an hour. And I already eat a ticket. And he feels sorry for me. And I said, I know I'm wrong. So as soon as I admit my sin and repent, and he took the pen and wrote $120 on the ticket and asked me, are you happy now? And what did I say? Of course I'm happy. So my spirit is from the bottom of the hill, then my spirit just lift it up. Because I just had experience a grace that cost $370. You know, I deserve the punishment. I deserve it. But actually, it's this grace that actually saved me. Later on, while driving, I just want to leave this town as soon as possible. I don't want to stay here anymore. God actually revealed to me, okay, you just finished listening to the Romans. Now I will have you to experience the Romans. During this kind of short encounter, I just realized one thing, that grace is very, very, very important. Like in our society, we operate in a system that called justification by work. Slogan like, I earn it. I deserve it, and I work hard for it. So this kind of mentality is everywhere. That the justification by work create kind of an environment that I can control everything. Everything is under my hand and under my control. But at the same time, it create another issue is that we fear about losing control. We don't want to lose control of it. Today we need is the justification by faith instead of justification by work. Paul reminds us that the gospel is the power of God, an immense power of receiving the grace. It is that when you put down your faith in grace, you will receive it. If everyone in the church, if we sit here, we do not judge others because of their good works, but focus on living out the grace. It will be an immense, really nice picture. Everyone give grace, and everyone also receive grace. Isn't this so nice at the same time? You will feel that the church will fill with joy and will fill with passion because no one will care about I'm hurting you or hurting others or judging others. And this place will always be filled with the love of Christ. When we be able to live out the faith, when we be able to say that I'm the righteous because I live by faith, it is a faith on the gospel, even though it may not make sense, even though it may feel ashamed of it. But it is the power of God that shows us one more time that while we trust on it, we will see and we will experience the big grace in our life. And we also, when we share with other people, you will see that the world will feel different and our heart will be transformed and changed because God, His grace, is always living in our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Father Heaven, we are so wonderful, May, and we are so thankful that your grace is always upon us. Even though in our heart, so many times we reject you, we said that we don't want to share any part of you. But it is your grace that again reminds us that we are being loved by you. While we are being loved by you, we feel that we are the Son of God. We are your children. Thank you so much for helping us here. Thank you so much for helping us to listen to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.